Chapter 5. Man Never God. In a far country of human and material existence, where there appear multitudinous men, women, and children, the terms man and mankind are frequently used generically. But to consider oneself as man is a great and grave mistake. Christ gave no such instruction. He made use of the term man only when referring to the forms, called persons or personalities, as follows. First bind the strong man, Matthew 12:29. First of all, renounce the perverse and inflexible belief that you are man, for it is not the truth. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven, Matthew 23:9. Man is not your father, and not yourself. He is of the earth, dust to dust. One is your being, Father only, that perfection which is your own without beginning or end. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world of human accomplishments and intellectualities, and lose his own soul, and neglect discovering the great answer to existence? Mark 8:36. No man hath seen God at any time, John 1:18. No one as man or personal individual can understand the infinite. We stone thee for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. John 10:33. In one way their perception was correct, since man can never be God. But they made the fatal mistake of regarding Jesus as man. The fact was that Jesus was laying down his life to prove to them and to all that we are not multiple individual personalities, as it seems, but infinite spirit, life, and being, perfection, wholeness, and immortality. The individualistic position is destined to dust, oblivion, inexistence, while perfection, as the whole, the all in all, remains unchangeable from eternity to eternity. The Christ identified himself with all-inclusive infinity, never with limited finite man. Thus his almighty power and presence. Saith the Scriptures, a man hath no preeminence above a beast. All go into one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Ecclesiastes 3:20. The things of God knoweth no man. 1 Corinthians 2:11. Jesus knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. John 2:25. You can see now for yourself the incongruity of the belief that we are man. The fact is, man is not a being of any kind, but a position of inversion, a turning away from reality and perfection. When his disciples attempted to glorify him as a good man, Jesus rebuked them, saying, "None, no one, no man is good, save God only." At one time, metaphysics introduced to the world the true idea that really we are not any kind of man at all, but spirit, life, and being. That the root meaning of the word man implies manifestation. This enlightened instruction was in vogue for several years. Then it was removed and replaced by the teaching that we are not spirit, life, and being, but spiritual man, image, or idea, and as such reflect, but do not possess spirit, life, and being. Now then, the teaching that we are life, mind, and spirit agrees with that of the Christ. No other does. The prevailing idea in metaphysics today still is that we are spiritual perfect man, an utter impossibility, and one which our great teacher never propounded. In all Scripture there is but one mention of spiritual man, as in the following: "The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it." The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. Jesus' teaching was wholly from the true and absolute state of being. He spoke from the viewpoint of sovereign power, not as a reflection of it. Gloriously and triumphantly, he proved to all that he was life immortal, power omnipotent, and spirit immaculate and eternal. Reader, can you doubt it? To attempt, therefore, to spiritualize man, which term means precisely a form of life having beginning and end, a form of personality and individuality separate from the whole, keeps one from seeing and accepting the spiritual requisite to let go such a fallacious practice in order to be like him who was Lord of heaven and earth. The great teacher of all never spoke of man as perfect or spiritual. He knew that as man we could never reach the solution to being, and so he stated plainly, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." John 3, verse 27. Paul caught this same amazing insight when he boldly declared, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." Exultingly, Jesus stressed, "Ye are the light of the world. In you is the river of the water of life. The kingdom of God is within you, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." Do such words as these suggest the slightest hint that we are lifeless, helpless images, dependent upon some outside power or being for whatever we are or hope to become? Decidedly not. You may ask, what about Moses' declaration that God created man in his own image? True, here Moses was alluding to us as man and not life, the self-existent. But he gave us as much of the truth as he knew at the time. Moses was not destined to give the full truth, for this revelation belonged only to Jesus Christ. He alone was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the only one who was aware of his and of our inherent God state, and the fallacy of the assumptive man position. Continually he referred to our inherent state as the Father within, the pristine and genuine reality unknown to us as individuals or human beings, but known and understood as our soul cognizes itself to be God. Moses did not reach the promised land, proving he did not have the perfect and complete knowledge of himself, but taught the human footsteps, the resurrection, but not the ascension. Indeed, none as man shall ever reach the promised land, only as we are detached from that which is not the truth of us, and take possession of that self, body, and universe which eternally are ours, shall we see face to face, and know as we are known of God. Imperially, the Master set aside the transitory vision of Moses and proclaimed, "Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. I am the bread which came down from heaven." Verily, if one does not willingly accept that being which eternally and everlastingly he is, then of necessity he will continue to imagine himself that which he is not, man, form, image, idea, dust. Therefore, our only real hope for emancipation from all such mistaken ideas is to be like Jesus, life instead of an image of life, truth instead of an idea of truth, power instead of a reflection of power, and the way instead of a follower of some particular system, book, church, or person. We should always look directly at the teaching of Christ. Never did he intimate that he was man, an image, idea, or expression. Then why believe it? Why not believe exactly as he taught, that we are all one and so are really the self-same life and being? The way Jesus regarded his identity with being is the way for us to do also, else why call him the way-shower? Furthermore, why acknowledge him to be the truth and the life, and us mere reflections of it? unless we see exactly as he saw and follow in his footsteps, how do you suppose we shall ever be like him and do the works he commanded? Paul caught a glimpse of this self-revealing light when he wrote, "We have the mind of Christ," 1 Corinthians 2:16. "Jesus Christ is in you," 2 Corinthians 13:5. And John, too, prophetically announced, "Beloved, now are we, in belief, the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear, altogether revealed to us, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when truth shall be more fully revealed, we shall be like him, Jesus Christ. For we shall see and recognize him as he actually is, the way, the truth, and the life." 1 John 3, verse 2. In these latter days, all falsities are to be exposed. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Matthew 10:26. And they shall be all taught of God. John 6:45. Only the Spirit of truth can reveal to us the sublime fact that we are God and not man. It must come as a direct perception. Therefore, dear reader, as soon as you perceive that you are not spiritual man, nor an image of any kind, nor expression of any sort, you shall then be ready to take possession of yourself as infinite perfect being and none less. Since you are alive, you are life, and since life is one indivisible whole, then this you must be and are the same, very same as Jesus. For himself and for whosoever will, he proclaimed, "All, not part, power is given unto me. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Could he have said it any plainer? Could he have more clearly presented the oneness of life and being? Do you believe that he did or did not include us in his vision? Nature entitles us all to the air as a whole, since it is indivisible, and likewise to the sunlight, since it cannot be separated into parts. Mathematics, too, is available to everyone, nor can it be personalized or separated from the whole. In the same way, we are all entitled to indivisible love, indivisible intelligence, indivisible perfection and power, and the indivisible fullness of every good and perfect thing. As soon as we begin to glimpse these wonderful and thrilling realities, and simultaneously withdraw our claim to the dust thou art forms and the dust thou art individualities, we shall make rapid progress toward enacting that new creature which Paul prophetically mentions. The terrific upheaval taking place everywhere on earth today signals the doom of all which would obstruct the coming into view and actuality of the ever-living, never-to-be-lost sight of Jesus Christ's message and the perfection of all things, even as he foretold. A perfect self, perfect universe, perfect body, perfect experience for everyone who will take all. When one lets go the false individualistic sense of himself, then he may say, "I am the one infinite being. I am life everlasting. I am truth, immortal and eternal." Thinking and speaking as the one and only, he may claim all good as his very own. But should he speak as an individual or person, then such a claim would be sacrilegious. Said the Christ, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." When the Spirit in you comes forth and gloriously bears witness to the forever truth, then only shall you know that I and my Father are one, and understand more certainly that the Father, infinite being, is greater than I, as person, man, or individual. Now we see that God and man are not one, nor are they opposites. The infinite can have no opposite. One, God, perfection, is the true state in the eternal. The other, man, imperfection, is an untrue position and the non-existent. I am God and not man. Hosea 11:9. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Isaiah 42:8. When the scales drop from our eyes and we see the self in its true light, we shall love to be that which everlastingly we are, the life triumphant, the indivisible, absolute. In its true sense, the word individual means indivisible and pertains to the divine alone. However, it is generally understood to mean a single human being with a mind and body of his own. Since life is spirit, not matter, it cannot be divided into human beings.